Let's now state and prove the Banach fixed point theorem. First, a lot of problems in mathematics boils down to solving equations. In other words, whatever problem you're working on, you want to reformulate it into something like this. Find an object, x bar, for instance, so that x bar satisfies some equation, let's say this one. Now, a standard approach to solving an equation is by finding approximations to the solution x bar. So an approximation is, let's say, a sequence of objects x1, x2, and so on, so that in some sense, f of the nth approximation is almost y. So this equation is not directly satisfied, but almost satisfied. To be a bit more concrete, this sequence on the left-hand side converges as you go further and further out into the sequence to the target y. So in other words, the approximations are getting better and better. But this is something you've already done in computing numerical approximations, let's say approximations to integrals. You want to find better and better approximations to an integral. So at least in the numerical approximations, such a property is called consistency of the approximation. At this point, we're not done yet, though, because this does not tell us, first of all, it doesn't tell us what x bar is, and this property does not guarantee that this sequence of objects converges towards the solution of x bar. So the next step is that it might, under certain circumstances, be possible to prove that this sequence is Cauchy. We cannot directly prove that this sequence converges because we wouldn't know what it converges to. If we know what it converges to, then we would already know what x bar is, and we don't know what x bar is. But it might be possible to prove that this sequence is Cauchy. Now, if we're so lucky to be in a complete metric space, then being Cauchy automatically guarantees convergence towards some element x bar. Now, mere convergence towards an object doesn't mean that that limit is a solution of the object of the problem. But if this function f is continuous, then indeed x bar, the limit, solves the equation. So why is that? Well, we start by computing f of x bar. X bar is the limit of this sequence. So f of x bar is f of the limit. Now, continuity, remember, means that we can take limits outside of f. So this is equal to this. And now by consistency of the approximations, the function values converge to y. So that means that f of x bar is equal to y. And that's the same as saying that x bar is a solution of our problem. So this is a very general framework for how to attack finding solutions to the problem of finding solutions to an equation. Let's be a bit more concrete. Now we'll fix some metric space and a function from the metric space to itself. So this is a limitation, and a more general setting would be function from x to y, but let's consider functions from x to into itself. And we'll reformulate the equation as follows. Instead of solving f of x equals y for some fixed y, we'll try to solve this equation. X is equal to f of x. So if you have some equation, let's say f of x is equal to y, then we can always reformulate it by moving around objects to something like this. Let's say that we can write it as f of x minus y plus x is equal to x. Then we have something of the form some function of x is equal to x. And that's this equation. So in this setting here, we say that some object x is a fixed point for f, if it satisfies this. A fixed point is an object which doesn't change when you apply f to it. Now here comes our strategy for finding such a fixed point, a solution to this equation. We start by selecting any point in the metric space. Then we define x1 to be f of x0. Now, most likely x0 and x1 are not the same, so this will not be a fixed point. But then we repeat that. X2 is equal to f of x1. And likewise, x3 will be f of x2. And so on, after the nth step, xn plus 1 is f of x1, f of xn. Now, it would be too much to ask that this ever stops and saying that xn is xn plus 1, as we have a fixed point. But still, this gives us a sequence of approximations. And by requiring a very special property of f, we can be guaranteed that this fixed point iteration indeed converges to what we are looking for. That special property of f is called a contraction. So let's again say that we have some metric space and a function from the metric space to itself. We say that such a function is a contraction if there is some positive number k between 0 and 1. 1 not included, this is very important, such that this inequality always holds. So it means that whenever you have two points in the domain, the distance between the function values is less than that constant, and this should be little k, times the original distance. So here is a picture. Say you have two points. No matter what these two points are, as soon as you apply f to it, you get two points which are strictly closer. They're closer by a factor of k. K is less than one. Here is an exercise. It's a very good exercise. Every contraction is continuous. So start by assuming that f satisfies this, and then try to prove that it's continuous. You should do that right now. And here is the main theorem about solving any equation, in particular main theorem about fixed points. So let's say that we have a complete metric space. Remember the general outline of strategy that we had at the beginning of this video. We need completeness. So we have a complete metric space and a function from that space to itself, which is a contraction. The theorem then says that that function has not just one fixed point, but a unique fixed point. Moreover, you can compute that fixed point. So first you pick any element in X, and then you define the sequence of approximation, which is the fixed point iteration. Then the theorem says that this sequence of objects converges to this fixed point. So the theorem, the proof consists of three steps. The first step is to show that this sequence is Cauchy. So first, let's say that we are at the nth element, and let's compute the distance between that element and the next one. Well, xn plus one, by definition, is f of xn. Xn likewise is f of xn minus 1 by definition of the sequence. Now we use the property of being a contraction. There is some number k smaller than 1, so that the distance between function values is at most k times the distance between points. So now we have found that this distance is at most k times this distance. And note that this expression is of exactly the same type as this one, only that the indices have shifted once backwards. So now we can apply exactly the same argument to this element, this number. Find that we get an additional factor k, so we get the k squared times d of n xn minus 1, xn minus 2, and so on, up to this. So this is the distance between two consecutive elements. Now let's say we want to compute the distance between xm and xn, where simply m is greater than n. Well, we can use what we have already shown by applying the triangle inequality. So instead of applying the looking at the distance between xn and xm, we sneak in all the elements in between these two by applying the triangle inequality several times. So we get that this is less than or equal to this. And now we use this inequality here with L in place of M. So that gives us K to the L times this number. Now, this is just some fixed number, so we can take it outside. We get this sum. Well, this sum is certainly no greater than what we get if we sum up to infinity instead. So we do that here. And now you see that this is a geometric series. We have a formula for that. This is equal to this. And N here is where we started. So we have found that we can bound this number by some constant times k to the n divided by some fixed constant. Moving on, so that means that if little n and little m are any numbers, let's say they're both greater than some threshold big N, then what we just show is that the distance between them is at most distance between x1 and x0 times k to the power of the smallest of those. Remember that here we assume that little n is greater than little n. If we just interchange them, then it would say m here instead of n. That's the only difference. So this power is precisely the minimum of these two indices. So this is what we showed on the previous page. And if we replace this power by something smaller, then we get something possibly even larger by the fact that k is smaller than one. Now, this expression goes to zero as big N goes to infinity. And here we use, again, the crucial property that little k is a number which is less than one. So the bigger n is, the smaller this becomes. And this are just constants. So by choosing n large enough, we can force this expression to be as small as we want. In other words, the sequence is Cauchy. Let's next prove the claim that the sequence converges towards a fixed point for f. Now, remember that we assume that our metric space is complete. And we have just shown that the sequence is Cauchy. So that means that the sequence is convergent. Being convergent means that there exists some object, let's call it x bar, towards which the sequence converges. Well, what do we know about x bar? X bar is the limit of this sequence. Well, the limit of xn as n goes to infinity is precisely the same as the limit of xn plus 1 as n goes to infinity. Shifting the index by 1 doesn't give you a different limit. Xn plus 1, well, by definition, that's f of xn. That's how we define the sequence. Now we'll use the property that f is continuous. Remember that all contractions are continuous. So for any continuous function, you can take limits inside or outside, if, for that matter. So you can take the limit inside of f. Then we get f of limit of the sequence. Well, that's x bar. So we get end up with f of x bar. So we've shown that x bar is equal to f of x bar. So by definition, x bar is a fixed point. That's what we wanted to show. Now there is one claim that remains. X bar is unique. There is only one fixed point, and that is x bar. So let's say that we have another fixed point, x tilde, and we want to show that x tilde is equal to x bar. Well, two objects being equal is the same as saying that their distance is zero. So let's prove that. The distance between these is this expression, and both x bar and x tilde are fixed points. So x bar is equal to f of x bar, and x tilde is equal to f of x tilde. Now, again, for the third time, we use the property that f is a contraction. So the distance between two function values is at most k times the distance between the objects. So what we've shown is that some number is less than or equal to k times the same number. But k is a number which is less than one. So the only way in which this inequality can be true is that this number is zero. There is no positive number, which is such that when you multiply it by something smaller than one, you get something which is even bigger. So necessarily this distance is zero, hence the two objects must be the same, which is the same as saying that x bar is unique in being a fixed point. This proves Banach's fixed point theorem. As usual, if you have questions or comments to the video, then please don't hesitate to get in touch.